In Isaiah, and you can't have Christ's book without having end times in Isaiah associated with it. We always tend to think of Jesus as the child in the manger in Bethlehem who grew up in loving us, lived a perfect life, died for us on the cross, and is in heaven today and is our constant intercessor with the Father. We always tend to think of the merciful side of Christ, the loving side of Christ, the patient side of Christ, the protecting side of Christ. But there is a side of Christ that's going to be revealed when he returns, and it's going to be revealed against those who rejected him. And it isn't because they're terrible, wicked sinners or super mean people. It's just because they wouldn't come to the realization that they were sinful, that they did need a Savior, and they deliberately rejected the only one who could save them. Now in Isaiah 9 and 5, this is absolutely, without question, talking about the battle that's going to ensue at the end of the tribulation period, one in which it'll be quite different from any kind of battle we've ever had. And it describes it. It says, for every battle of the war is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. Normally, when you think of a battle, you think of wounded men. You think of the confusion of the attacking armies. And you think of the attack even while it's going on and afterwards men being bandaged. This is particularly revealing to me. Because whenever you had a firefight in Vietnam, there would be tremendous noise, yelling, Vietnamese voices, American voices. And you couldn't see who you were shooting at very often. And there was a lot of confused noise, different types of AK-47s clipping off, and our different types of equipment. And after it was over, and even doing it, you'd see garments rolled in blood. And so this is a particularly vivid picture of what a battle is usually like. And that's not to say that you won't have any killing in the Battle of Armageddon. But he says, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Our God is a burning fire, a flaming fire. He controls the earth. He controls everything in it, above it, and throughout the universe. And I don't think very many people have ever really sat down and gone through the Bible and seen how many times the scenario, the scene is painted of the latter portion of the tribulation period. And I don't know any other way to put it except this, so I say it reverently, when all hell breaks loose. And you're going to have casualties introduced directly by the Lord, by the opening of the earth, by his use of natural phenomena, and it's going to be a terrifying, frightening time. Now, the reason I'm zeroing in on a lot of this, because it's hard to believe, but it's finally here. Now, I realize, I say that the attack against Israel, the initial attack, will occur within the next 6 years. I'm firmly convinced of that, but I could be wrong, and I know that. But the fact that it will come, of that I'm absolutely certain. And it will be this kind of a battle when it does happen. And since I believe it's about to happen within the next 6 years, I think it's going to be a terrible thing. Revelation 17, 12 through 14. He's talking about the 10 horns on John's second feast. And I believe those 10 horns, or the 10 kings, are already in place in the Middle East. I believe the 10 horns and 10 kings represent the kingdoms of Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and the Palestinians inside of Israel. And I believe that they are going to receive rulership over a kingdom, whoever these two kings may happen to be when all this occurs, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. For a short period of time, the latter portion of the tribulation period, they will have power And they will use that power against God's people, against Israel, and against all the forces of good on this earth for a short period of time, and they will be eminently successful in the Middle East. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. The beast himself is going to be the type of a person that is so all-powerful and encompassing that they will want to give their power and strength to him, and they'll be of one mind, and quite frankly, because they don't have much choice, and God indicates he'll put it in their minds to do and obey the beast. Beast shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, when you talk about this battle in Isaiah 9:5, in a moment I'll show you why I know it has to do with the final battle, the very latter portion of the tribulation period. And it's going to be a battle where the Lord wins with burning and fuel of fire and power from his very person and presence and unleashing of the earth itself that he controls. I think all hell shall break loose is a good apt description of it. And I'm thankful that this latter portion here says, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, this with him. I believe all the saved go to heaven. I believe all the saved will see him in heaven. I believe all the saved will be judged by him in heaven at his judgment seat. But I believe when it puts statements like this in the book of Revelation, and since they were written to churches, there's no question about it, these are people that were not only called in the sense they were elect, and elect meaning they elected to receive Christ as Savior, which was God's choice for them. And they made a choice. But it means their lives were so lived that they were chosen for a special relationship very near in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. And they were faithful. They were faithful for this reason. So these people are saved people, but they're saved people that were not only saved, but God chose them because of their faithfulness, and they're in his immediate presence. And I think anyone, as they get to know the Lord through their life, the more they get to know him, the more they want to be wherever he is in heaven, because they have such a pleasant experience here by knowing that they're coming and worshiping in a place where his very presence dwells. I know we don't have the Mormon Tabernacle Choir here, and I know we don't have a lot of the programs and various accompaniments that other churches have that are so colorful and so desirable by most of the world, but we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling among us, and we are builded together for habitation of God through the Spirit. And quite frankly, I don't think you could want anything more than that. In Revelation 19:19-21, we're talking about, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. And I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse. That, of course, is Jesus Christ on the white horse, King of kings, Lord of lords. And against his army. And the beast was taken within the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Now he said, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire, Isaiah 9:5. Now in Revelation 19, in the latter portion of verse 20, referring to the false prophet and the beast, these were both cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is a real event. This is a real occurrence, and it's in the future. And unless I'm mistaken, we will be with the Lord, and we will see these things occur. And the joy I think we'll experience is that we will understand what's happening. But for a lot of people, who after they were saved were never interested in what God had to say about the future, they were never interested in what the Word of God had to say about much of anything, I think a lot of them are going to be watching all this and a great deal of awe and failing to understand what they're seeing. I think you enjoy something more if you understand what's happening while you're watching it. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, the Antichrist army, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And the fowls were filled with their flesh. We'll be in glorified bodies. We'll return with him. We'll see this horrible carnage on the earth. It may seem like to us that will be horrible, And it would be a most undesirable thing to see. But the people that these acts are being performed on are people who have utterly blasphemed against Christ. They are people who have hated God. And they are people who have seen terrifying things happen. And yet they refused to repent because they wanted to do it their way. I hate that song, "I Did It My Way." I like the voice quality of Frank Sinatra. I like the voice quality of Elvis Presley. I think they do a wonderful job. But I hate that song. I despise it. "I did it my way." That's the problem with the world. We do it our way rather than God's way. And so these people that this discusses, that their bodies are carnage on the hills of Jerusalem, they're there by their own choice and by their own decision. And if you're going to respect the mercy and the love of God, you've got to respect Him for being perfect in what He is, and He's perfect in judgment. And you've got to understand that He cannot be God unless He is perfect in every characteristic, and He has to be just. And He is just, but He is very gracious. And I don't think any of us here could ever find anything in our lives, past, present, or future, that ever merited going to heaven other than the grace of God that's in Jesus Christ. It's hard to believe that in Daniel 2:42 through 44, all this is shaping up, but it's shaping up in the Middle East right now. And the toes were part of iron, part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Morocco is a clay toe, has no great power of any consequence. So is Algeria. It's a clay. So is Tunisia, very weak little nation. Libya probably is iron. It has an army, fairly well trained. And I would say it was about halfway in between clay and iron. Then when you get on over to Lebanon, it's been beaten up so much and has 35,000 Syrian troops controlling it. Lebanon is probably clay. Syria is iron. Iraq is iron, even though they've been battered. And Iran is iron. Palestinians inside, operating inside, they're clay. But they're pretty close to iron with the equipment they have, and they've hidden in those caves in the mountains. It's a perfect description of what's shaping up over there right now. Arab nations are the old Roman Empire, some of them strong, some of them weak, partly strong, partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Abraham and Sarah didn't really have faith in God that He'd keep His promise, to give them a promised seed. And I'm not passing judgment on them. Had I been in Abraham's position, I would have done much worse than Abraham. All of us try to help God one time or another and continue to do so throughout our lifetimes. But Abraham and Sarah decided, and Sarah mostly, that they wanted this promised seed. It meant a lot to Abraham. It meant a lot to Sarah. So they concocted this plan where Sarah would pick one of her handmaidens, Hagar. Tell Abraham, you go in into her and have sex with her and produce a son. This was not God's plan. Never was. Totally opposite from God's plan. Alien to it. So Abraham went in. Sure enough, Hagar got present. And she had Ishmael. Then Ishmael had 12 sons. Those 12 sons are the enemies of Israel today. And they're the ones kicking up all the ruckus. But then after Sarah died, Abraham married another woman named Keturah. And Keturah had 6 sons, and Abraham sent them away into the east. Now those 6 sons of Keturah and their offspring are the enemies of Israel. Then Lot's daughters, whenever Lot's wife was killed at Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have enough confidence in God to provide another seed for Lot. So they got Lot pregnant, his own daughters, to have sexual relationship with him while he was drunk. They both got pregnant and had 2 illegitimate sons. And those are the enemies of Israel. So when it says they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, Ishmael's descendants, Keturah's sons' descendants, Moab and Ammon, have mingled together in marriage and produced a mixed up race. And the actual word Arab means mixed. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. They don't stick together very long. The descendants of Keturah, the descendants of Ishmael, the descendants of Ammon and Lot, or the Ammon and Moab, Lot's two sons, they don't stick together very long. They don't like each other. But God's going to put them together as a mixed nation, half strong, half powerful, and half weak. And they're going to attack Israel, 10 of them. I really feel very confident this is going to happen within the next 6 years. Feel very confident of it. But one thing is certain. It will happen because God says so. And the days of these kings, at the end of the time when they don't stick together, and finally the Battle of Armageddon occurs, and you have the burning of fire, fuel of fire, you have the return of the Lord, he's going to set up a kingdom, replace all these kingdoms, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom that you and I are going to be in glorified bodies. You say, well, it only lasts 1,000 years. No, it, for us, when this earth is destroyed, a new heaven and a new earth will be created, and we will merely be transferred as glorified beings into a kingdom in heaven where there is a city three-fifths the size of the United States and a whole new earth upon which it sets, made out of material you and I are not familiar with. It's hard to believe that's on our very doorstep. Ever since I was a little boy, I remember when people died. I remember when Grandfather Drennan died. I remember when Papa Mac and Thiel died. Remember when Dad, Mom died. And I've watched people die, and it just seemed the normal way of life. And you said, well, they're better off where they are, and they're happy in heaven. And it gave you strength and happiness to know they were alive with the Lord, and it was true. But it's just difficult to envision. It's about to happen to all of us, because when Jesus comes, all of us that are saved are going to be instantly changed within a split second after those in the grave are changed. Now let's go back to this verse of Scripture. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. I never will forget. I saw a man's heart blown out and laying on the ground. You talk about blood and gore. And that's just what war is like. But he said, that's not going to be like that. He said, most of the casualties, most of the death are going to be directly produced by the power of God and a burning and a ripping open of the land and a tearing by God of the earth and Israel. And it's going to be done by this man. But how do I know he's talking about Jesus? Verse 6, Isaiah 9, 5 through 7. For unto us a child is born. We always think of him in a manger in Bethlehem. And he is the Lamb of God. For unto us a son is given. We always think of him as the Lamb of God that died for our sins. But he is also the Lion of Judah, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. They turned him down. Said, no, you can't be our ruler. You can't be our judge. But it's going to be on his shoulder. I tell you, it's hard to imagine me in a glorified body and standing there and looking at Jesus Christ. And hearing what he says. That's amazing. It's so amazing and so alien to the life that we've lived down here. It's difficult to envision. But I know the Word of God is true. It has no inconsistencies. He's made far too many predictions. They've all come true. And I know this will come true. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Remember what it said about the burning? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This isn't something where God takes thermonuclear weapons, man's tanks, military expertise, rockets, smart bombs, F-16s. This isn't where he takes all of these wonderful things that men have developed as weapons of war and says, now I'm going to use what you made and use it to destroy you. God's going to do this directly by his own person. I don't think anybody realizes what's about to come on this earth. And I realize sometimes I must seem like an old man with a long gray beard and a sign on the front says the end is near, and on the back, I realize that. The end is coming, the end is near. But I'm telling you, this thing that's coming on the earth, all of a sudden, according to what the scripture says, this first earthquake in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 6:12, is going to hit, and it's going to be a dandy. And then they're going to start rippling all over the earth. And they're going to ripple all the way through the trumpets and the vials, getting worse and worse and worse. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And it's going to be with burning and fuel of fire. Daniel 7:23-27. And he said, the fourth beast of Daniel, which was the Roman Empire, shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten horns that shall arise. They're rising right now in the Middle East. I'm watching them every day. If you watch the website, I'm showing you what's going on over there, and I'm using newspaper articles. I'm not making things up. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. I think the three kings are most likely Lebanon, Libya, and Sudan, but it may be three others. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Now the saints of the Most High here in Daniel are the Jewish people. The saints of the Most High, the remnant in the wilderness, particularly the 144,000. And think to change times and laws, for he becomes God and makes the own system of time and laws. Times are the changes of the moon and the laws, and they worship him. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, 1 year, times 2 years, the dividing of times, half a year, 1 + 2 + 1/2, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey. It's hard to believe that's almost here. Now, I realize that a lot of this is repetitious, and I realize you've heard it over and over again. But I believe this is what I was supposed to do, and I believe it's important for this reason. If what I believe is correct, all of a sudden, seemingly without warning, everything's going to go into the most confusing maze of uncertainty the world has ever known. And I think this is going to happen probably within the next 3 years. I don't think it's something a long way off. I say I think this attack will occur within the next 6 years to give myself a safety margin of error. But all of a sudden it's going to start. And when it does, a lot of us are going to be here. Now, if it starts in the next 6 years, and we see it start, and we see the most catastrophic set of events and shakings of the earth that have ever occurred in history, God's told us about it. He's warned us about it. And we've got an advantage. Once we see it start, we know how it's going to end. And I've mentioned this message several times, and I'll mention it again, by Dr. I.K. Cross, Missionary Baptist preacher. He preached a message at the association meeting one time called, "We're Gonna Win." So when it all starts, instead of running around like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off in confusion and uncertainty, we'll know what's happening. And we know the end of it, and we know who's gonna win. So I think that's going to probably draw us closer together than we've ever been. I think it's going to align us more in the cause and purpose of God than we've ever been aligned. And it's going to give us courage and strength. We all fear something more than anything else. The unknown. It's always been that way. Man has always been afraid of the unknown. From childhood, in a dark room, we can't see what's there, and it's unknown, and we fear it. But when God tells us and shows us something's going to happen, and then it happens, and we not only know the beginning, but we know the end. I think it's going to be a tremendous help to us and give us tremendous courage to continue true to the Lord throughout this time. I think God is unveiling more of His Word now than He ever has. And I think it's for that reason. And it's 6 minutes till. Another bonus. Danny, you want to dismiss us?